Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, text number 40. Nadati kvachit udkanto.
Nadati kvachit udkanto.
Vilajo nrityati kvachit.
Vilajo nrityati kvachit.
Kvachit tad bhavana yuktas. Tanmayo nu chakaraha. Nadati exclaims loudly, addressing the Lord, O Krishna, kvachit, sometimes, utkanta, being anxious, vilajja, without shame, rityati, he dances, kvachit, sometimes, kvachit, sometimes, tat bhavana, with thoughts of Krishna, yukta, being absorbed, tatmaya, thinking as if he had become Krishna, anuchakara, imitated, he indeed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt that the Lord was far away from him and therefore called him loudly. When he saw that the Lord was before him, he was fully jubilant. Sometimes, thinking himself one with the Supreme, he imitated the Lord's pastimes, and in separation with the Lord, he would sometimes show symptoms of madness. These feelings of devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalists. One must go further and further into spiritual understanding. The first realization is impersonal Brahman, but one must go still further to realize Paramatma, and eventually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the transcendental feelings of a devotee in a relationship of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya. Here the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. As a child cries when left by his mother, when Prahlad Maharaj felt that the Lord was far away from him, he began to cry, Nadati. Again, a devotee like Prahlad sometimes sees that the Lord is coming from a long distance to pacify him, like a mother responding to a child saying, my dear child, do not cry, I am coming. And then the devotee, without being ashamed due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking, here is my Lord. My Lord is coming. Thus the devotee, in full ecstasy, sometimes imitates the pastimes of the Lord, just as the coward boys used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasies described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. Nadati kvachit utkanto vilajo nrityati kvachit kvachit tad bhavana yuktas tanmayo nuchakaraha. Sometimes, upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness and jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, He felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. So what was the word that was used in this verse more than three times? Quatchit. And what does quatchit mean?
Sometimes.
So that's the value of repetition. Keep on repeating something, eventually we'll remember it. And what were the three things I mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj did?
So he was loudly calling for Krishna, then he was very jubilant, seeing Krishna come, and then
something like that. First, seeing Krishna coming, he loudly cry out. What was the second thing? Sometimes, what did he lose? And then he'd do what?
Dance.
He'd dance in ecstasy. And what was the third thing?
He felt the oneness and presented the views of the Lord.
Yes. He became absorbed in Krishna consciousness and felt that he was the Lord. Then he'd imitate his pastime. And here, which is the rasa that's mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj was manifesting?
Vatsalya.
So usually we take Vatsalya is that the devotee becomes the parent of Krishna. But here, the devotee becomes the child of Krishna. It'd be rather strange for a boy 5 years old to become Krishna's father or so. There's, as we went over the other day, there's two different stages. Vibhava has two different aspects. What are the two aspects? What are the two divisions of Vibhava?
Being with the Lord and separation.
What's that? Well, that's something different. That's Vilambana and Sambandha. But this is Vibhava has two. One of them is called Alambana, and the other is called Udipan. So, what does Alambana mean? Okay, Adi Purusha. What's that? What are the two ornaments? What are the two divisions of... I think it's Lambana, isn't it?
It's Vishaya and
Ashraya. Yes.
And then in Vishaya,
there is Alambana
and
then
the stimulants and...
I don't know what you say. Udipan is the stimulants. Alambana has two divisions, Vishaya and Ashraya. Ashraya, Vishaya is the... The reservoir of love is called the Ashraya, and the object of love is called the Vishaya. So, here we find that, generally speaking, Krishna's, the devotee is the reservoir of the particular mellow, which is called Ashraya, and this is Vatsalya. And Krishna is usually the object of the Vatsalya rasa, as a little boy. But here, Krishna's Nrsimhadev, or Krishna, and so he's the reservoir of love for his devotee, who's in the mellow of a little boy, namely the Vishaya. So, rather unusual, but that's normal for a five-year-old boy to be like a little child. You're looking it up? Udipan is Krishna's form is, for instance, Krishna is the Vishaya for the in Madhurya Rasa for the gopis. But he's also, his form is Shyamasundara, is also an Udipan. It also awakens love for Krishna. Similarly, Krishna has explained that when he manifested so many different forms, dancing with the gopis, and for Baladev, it says in the Nectar Devotion, he became the Udipan, Krishna can. So Krishna's form, his quality, his pastimes could be the Ashraya, Vishaya of the gopis or the cowherd boys or the parents, could be the Vishaya, the object of affection, or it could also be in a stimulant for developing love. So here, Prahlad Maharaj, being attracted by Krishna in the mood of Vatsalya as a little boy, Krishna was the Vishaya, the attraction, as a parent. And therefore, being fully absorbed in Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj developed these particular characteristics. Of course, we know his actual rasa is probably dasya. It would seem that it appears it's almost like shanta, but because he was noted for being always absorbed in thought of Krishna, but he also exhibits things like dancing and crying out for the Lord. So this is symptoms of more like dasya. Devotional service in rasa is not so clear-cut. Sometimes Raktak, for instance, who's a servant of Krishna, I think it's Raktak. Raktak is actually a friend of Krishna. There's one servant of Krishna, I forget his name. Maybe it's Raktak. And Krishna was joking with the cowherd boys, and Raktak started to smile. But because he's in the mood of service, he checked himself. I'm not supposed to be doing this, I'm a servant. So it's not like he was penalized. How dare you overstep? You're just a servant. How can you act like a cowherd boy or a friend of Krishna? But these rasas are normal. They're natural. And you don't get penalized if you have a certain desire to please Krishna. It's not that they penalize you. You get 2 days in the material world for your offense. Lord Krishna enjoys the endless variety of rasas. Even in the Sakya rasa, there's just like endless varieties. Every single cowherd boy has a different relation with Krishna. It's not stereotyped. As it says at the end of the chapter in the Nectar of Devotion on Sakya rasa, that some cowherd boys please Krishna by their friendly behavior. Some of them please him by their joking with him. Some of them please him by their parental love for him. So there's varieties of Sakya also. Similarly, there's varieties of Madhurya. Every single queen in Dwarka, and there's 16,108 of them, had a different relation with Krishna. And so, therefore, when Krishna expanded himself as 16,108 Krishnas, he expanded himself just to suit the particular queen. I mean, that's called surrender. Imagine if every time you met someone, you change your form just to suit them. That would be quite a trick. You'd become very popular. And at the same time, Krishna changed his dealings, everything, with them. Because that's Krishna. Now, we should try to do the same thing. Not change our form, that would be a little difficult. But we should try to adopt ourselves to the different people we're dealing with, if we want to have a nice relationship with them. Rather than try to force people to adopt themselves to us, we should try to adopt ourselves to them. That's called Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Krishna will give us the intelligence how to do it, if that's what we want to do. If we want to attract people to Krishna, we have to find out what their needs are and what their interests are, rather than demand that they surrender to our needs and our interests. That's not exactly the way of attracting people. If you want to attract, for instance, bees, you have to give them something sweet. You can't give them something bitter and demand that they come and eat it. It won't happen. You have to put the right food out for them, and then they'll become attracted to it. So we can learn from Krishna's example that Krishna adapts himself perfectly to every devotee. And he has the ability to do that. For instance, when Brahma stole all the cowherd boys and the calves and put them in a cave for a year, sleep, then Krishna expanded himself into each cowherd boy. And he did it perfectly. He had the same forms as those cowherd boys, the same mentality as those cowherd boys, the same mannerisms of those cowherd boys. Everything was the same. And so the ladies, their mothers, they didn't notice any difference, except that somehow or another, causelessly, their love for their children causelessly expanded. Now, no one noticed that these were all expansions of Krishna until one day Baladev was observing that the cowherd men were herding the cows on the top of Govardhan Hill, and suddenly the cows saw their calves on the bottom of the hill, and they started to run after the calves. They were grown-up calves, though. They didn't require the milk of their mothers. But the cowherd men, although they tried to restrain the cows from running down the hill, they couldn't do it because the cows were so ecstatic, so much determined to associate with the calves that they ran down forcefully to the hill. And the cowherd men were quite angry because when they got down to the hill, the cows were giving the milk to the calves out of affection and licking them. But then as soon as the cowherd men saw the cowherd boys, they became overwhelmed with love. And they picked up the cowherd boys and smelled their heads, and tears of ecstasy came down their eyes. So Baladev was thinking that so much affection for these cowherd boys and the calves, how is it possible? Same kind of spontaneous affection they normally would have for Krishna. So Krishna, Baladev, because he's quite intelligent, because he's also Krishna, he knows past, present, future, he knows everything. Therefore he took a guess and said, Krishna, I think that you probably expanded yourself into these cowherd boys and these calves, is that right? And Krishna said, you got it. 2 points. That's Krishna, he can do that. That's why Krishna can appear in Ljubljana as the Panchatattva and appear in a way, in a form that's just suitable for Ljubljana. Although one can wonder how he did it. Just like if you go to Paris and you see Radha Parashishvara, then you'll notice that Radharani looks like a French lady. She talks French, if you can talk to her. Krishna also talks French. And if you go to other parts of the world, you'll see that Krishna has also adopted himself many times to fit the local community. Because Krishna wants to please his devotees, and he doesn't want to be too much outstanding. Because sometimes, even in Jagannath was first introduced in Haight-Ashbury. And since most of the people in Haight-Ashbury, anything normal would seem strange to them. So Jagannath just immediately, Lord Jagannath and his brother and sister, fit into the community immediately. He was as strange as everyone else was. So that's Krishna. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, and here Prabhupada is mentioning that to get to that stage, it takes some advancement. So there's three stages, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So generally speaking, when the devotees join the movement, they're impersonalists. Brahmananda Prabhu was sitting in class in 26 Second Avenue. Prabhupada was giving class every day. And Prabhupada was constantly talking against the impersonalists. Brahmananda Prabhu was thinking that, why is Prabhupada constantly talking against the impersonalists, these Mayavadis? There's no Mayavadis in New York that he knew of. Why is it, maybe he was so angry at these Mayavadis in India, it stayed in his mind even when he came to America, and he couldn't forget them. So he kept on talking against them even here. It's like when you become angry about against someone, then whoever you meet, you tell them all the problems, all the faults that this person has. So maybe you thought maybe Prabhupada was simply angry at the Mayavadis and constantly telling things against them. And then one day it struck Prabhupada in class that actually the people he was talking about, the Mayavadis, they were the ones who were sitting in class. So we may think all those bad Mayavadis were the good devotees, but actually we haven't even reached Brahman realization yet. Although we're coming to Brahman through Paramatma and Bhagavan, still there's this impersonalistic tendency. And that, what is impersonalistic tendency? It's worshipping, for instance, our bodies. Who in the material world doesn't worship their body? And why do they worship their body? Because they worship themselves within the body. They want to make themselves feel good. Isn't that what everyone here in the material world is trying to do? Make themselves feel good? And if someone can help them, then they're friends. And if someone is an obstacle or is making them feel bad, then they become an enemy. Therefore, the most difficult service in ISKCON, in any spiritual movement, is to take a position of management. Because inevitably you're going to say something or do something that someone doesn't like, and immediately they become your enemy. This person, how is he the authority? Let's get rid of him. He said something I don't like. So that's the material world. As soon as you find someone, you do something that they don't like, they'll become envious of you. Because the whole impersonalistic endeavor, the whole materialistic endeavor, is to make ourselves feel good. And we only like people who make ourselves feel good, and we dislike intensely people who make us feel bad. Just like if I said, all you great devotees, you're all effulgent, any time I look at you, I find it difficult because your effulgence is so bright. Then everyone would think, wow, finally he made some spiritual advancement. And if I said, you're all dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. You're a little hog's dog. Then people say, wow, he's really on a trip, isn't he? Look at his false ego right in the middle of class. Why is he giving class? He's just spoiling the atmosphere. So one has to be aware of these things, that Brahman, generally we're impersonalists, and we're dealing with impersonalists. Well, these people, even devotees, have this impersonalistic tendency. Therefore, it's very difficult to know exactly what to do and what to say. It takes a lot of intelligence, a lot of mercy coming from Krishna, how to deal with devotees, especially. Ordinary people, they couldn't care less, usually, what you think, because they think we're completely insignificant. They don't bother with us. They think we're just like little children. Little children can babble, and no one will take them seriously. So when they see devotees with shaven heads and robes on, they think, well, this person's crazy. Probably say something crazy too. They don't take it seriously. But the devotees, they take each other seriously. And if you call someone Prabhu, they think, oh yes, very nice. And you say, do this, and they go, who do you think you are? I'm the Prabhu. But if we can overcome this impersonalism, and how to do it, we have to take shelter of Paramatma. The Paramatma is a friend and guide. If we recognize his existence, then he can give us intelligence. If we don't recognize his existence, we don't pray to him, we're not trying to become conscious of him, we're not trying to remember what he says in Bhagavad Gita, then we're lost. Then we just fall back into the impersonalistic materialistic mentality. And although we think ourselves to be very advanced devotees, actually we're just lost in the material activities, material consciousness. So we have to take shelter of Paramatma. But in order to take shelter of Paramatma, we need a higher taste. That is, we have to be striving to please Krishna out of love. Just trying to take shelter of Paramatma to achieve something in this material world ultimately will be boring, because whatever we get in the material world is ultimately boring. We get tired of it. Even if you become a billionaire, like there's so many billionaires, the richest people, they're bored actually, because there's nothing to want. So they want to control everything. They want to become God. If you become powerful enough, then you want to become God, like Banasura. He had 10,000 arms. And he was going around the universe challenging people. But if you get into a boxing match with someone with 10,000 arms, it's very hard to block their punches. Therefore, everyone ran out of fear of Banasura, because there was no way they were going to fight against him. And even you say, well, actually I have a gun. Well, he had 10,000 guns. Hard to avoid. When people shoot at you with 10,000 guns, it's pretty hard to avoid the bullets. And anyhow, he had weapons in each one of his hands. Even if it wasn't a gun, it was swords and knives and everything else. So people would flee. And so he was out of lust, because when you're in the material world means lust. People want to fight out of lust. Satisfy the itching sensation in their minds which manifests in their arms. So he went to Lord Shiva, who gave him the benediction of 10,000 arms, and said, put up your dukes, I'm going to fight. Lord Shiva just laughed. He said, oh, you foolish demon. So Banasura said, you know, I'm going around, I'm trying to fight with all these demigods and everyone's fleeing from me. I'm having a really hard time. So I go to the mountains and I just smash the mountains with my fists, and they just become little pieces. So Lord Shiva said, don't worry. Soon the person will come and he'll smash your pride to victory, he'll smash you to pieces along with your pride, and your flag of victory will no longer fly. So Banasura became elated. Well, this is great. I'll get rid of this insatiable desire to fight. I'll get smashed. He said, this is great. So he's always looking forward to the time someone's going to come and smash him, because it becomes intolerable. Material desire is actually what we're serving, and when we can't satisfy it, then it becomes intolerable. People go crazy. So similarly, unless we can actually develop love and get rasa in relationship to Krishna, doesn't matter what we achieve through Paramatma, doesn't matter how much we try to satisfy ourselves on the impersonal level, we'll never be satisfied. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj was great not because he was Brahman realized or he was Paramatma realized, because he was a pure devotee of Krishna, and therefore he was always deeply absorbed in happiness in Krishna consciousness, in his relation with Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a great lecture. I want to ask about when you speak about impersonalism and devotional life. Is it even possible to serve Krishna if we are not in the Brahman, if we are not realizing this stage and understand this position also, like impersonal?
Yeah, therefore we can't serve Krishna. We have to serve Krishna as devotee. We try to serve Krishna. Krishna is served in spontaneous love. But his devotee can be served by following the instructions, by hearing, understanding, and following the instructions. Therefore, the devotee doesn't think himself to be the servant of Krishna. He thinks himself to be the servant of the servant of Krishna. Prabhupada said, don't try to offer the flower directly to Krishna. Offer it to Srimati Radharani and say, my dear Srimati Radharani, actually I have no qualification to offer this flower to Krishna, but since you're so kind and merciful, you please offer it to Krishna for me. And then Srimati Radharani says, my dear Krishna, here's a flower who's offered by a great devotee. I'm actually not a devotee, but he asked me to do this, and so I'm trying to become a servant. Therefore, please take this flower. And because Srimati Radharani is offering it, Krishna has to accept it. So if the devotee thinks I'm a servant of Krishna, well, he may not get it exactly right. We're actually Gopi Bharata Pada Kamalayar Dasa Dasa Anudasa, where the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself declared himself to be the servant of the servant of Krishna. Anything else?
This speaks about separation. Prahlad Maharaj, this verse and previous verses were speaking about Prahlad Maharaj sometimes crying in separation. And you have recited already several times the Krishna book passage about separation in our Sampradaya, as taught by the six Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when are we supposed to practice this feeling of separation with Krishna? Because we are separated, but we from Krishna, but we often do not realize we are separated from Krishna.
Well, when we stop feeling separation from the objects of the senses, then we'll start feeling separation from Krishna more constantly. Because that's in every day, every morning we recite the Shikshastika prayers, and it's sequential. First of all, Trinada Peace Nijana, Nadanamna Janamna Sundari, Ayananda Nakuntanujakingram. Then one should Yugayitam Vishena, or what's the next one? Nayanam Galarashudarya Varana. And then Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Prayashayita. It's sequential. First you have to become qualified to feel separation, then you have to develop the other qualities first. But these things sometimes will be felt, because sometimes we will be a little humble, and sometimes we will be a little detached from material. Sometimes we will want to take shelter of Krishna. Sometimes we will want to feel separation, and when Krishna sees we deserve a little bit of mercy, then he gives it to us, and we'll feel some separation from him. But steady separation comes, fixed separation comes at a certain stage. Thank you very much. Krandarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.